The following media was brought to you by Tomo Huzzah.
Hello, everybody. This is Henry speaking, and with me is my funny and honestly, pretty sharp-looking today, co-host Rudy.
I am not with you after that intro. I am not with him, people. I am not with him.
This intro was actually pitched to me by Rudy, so I'm just doing as the script says.
And today, this is like a goofy pilot before a plane set off. Hello, everybody. Altitude change.
Today we're in a pretty unique location. One that you may or may not have heard of, but that's pretty interesting either way. It's Nauru, and specifically Yaren, even though it's not really, there's not that much of a difference between Yaren or any of the other subdivisions, because it's only 12,000 people live there in total, in the entirety of the country.
And where is this country?
This country is in the middle of the Pacific. I would say... Oh, it's hard to say relatively. This is a good question, Rudy. Let's think about this.
Well, there we go. Triangulate that, bitch.
I would say it's definitely still on the western end, but quite far away from everything. The closest nearby nation is Kiribati, with one of their islands being 300 kilometers away. So that's the closest next contact point. So it's pretty isolated, I would say.
Yeah, it's like kind of in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Not in the middle, but like in the middle of nowhere in the Pacific Ocean.
Yep. And it's, I think, the third smallest country in area size as well. So there you go. That's what we got to deal with today.
Have to deal with today. this fucking... God damn it. It's not like we chose to do this for a podcast. It's not like we are bound by the wheel that we created. Fucking, we have to do this. People, we out here being heroes. Where are our treasures? Where are our praises?
The next time I see the person that pitched this podcast to me, I'm going to punch him in the stomach for making me do this.
Oh my God. Oh my God. This should be freaking illegal. Somebody I just saw, I have my phone on mute because obviously we're doing some professional stuff and recording, but I'm sorry. WhatsApp voice messages that span longer than 20 seconds should be illegal. I just received one that it's a minute and 20 seconds. I'm sorry, I love Italians, but Matteo, I'm gonna kill you. What the fuck?
I just wanna real quick do a little throwback to when you did the exact same thing and I called your ass out for it. And you
okay, but that was when my hands were full and I could not type. Yeah. And you needed something fast.
So what if Matteo is... what if he has his hands full right now?
Huh? I know he doesn't. He does this all the time. I know he does not. I literally... He's walking around the room and probably just like talking, and every third word is something to not do with the story because he can't get his thoughts straight when he's talking over the phone. I'm sorry, Matteo, I love you. It's just when you send voice messages that span 3 hours and five lifetimes, it kind of just icks me.
Yeah, well, I think voice messages should be removed, like, genuinely. That shit has never done anybody good, and it's over, quite frankly.
Henry has said it's over. WhatsApp, you better listen to your CEO from now on.
It's official, people. Voice messages are over.
No, but I just a lot think of people voice do messages... voice messages.
Yeah, and everybody that does a voice message, you should stop right now.
But then you can't send over the voice message.
Okay. Then let's introduce soundboards and remove voice messages.
What the fuck? I don't think that will work that well.
Well, I guess there's only one way to find out, and that's to actually do it, and then we'll gather the feedback.
By the way... Two things. I don't know what you're doing, you little weasel. I can't tell. But once in a while, there's small squeaks coming out of your end of the mic. Either you're using an actual mouse, like a real-life mouse for your computer mouse, or there's some shenanigans happening on the other side. Second thing that I want to say, do you think pirates live on Nauru? What the fuck was that?
That's me, like...
Pirates found him.
The pirate behind me, yeah.
Sid edit like some fucking cannon fire and like pirates just rushing into the room. No, it's because Yaren.
Bad, but I like it. Yeah, who knows? As for the squeaks, I think I'm getting like a bunch of mice in my room that are taking me hostage slowly but surely. So we'll see how that ends up at the end
Anyways,
of the episode.
The milk cow has run dry. We gotta move on to the news. Yaren Nauru, brought to you by Tomo Hosa, Globally Local FM, yada yada. News! Haha!
Well, Rudy, my first news piece is that I don't have any news pieces, so we're moving on to you. It's pretty fucking nothingness out here.
It is hard for this one. I know we whined about it in, what was it, Oman? When we got that episode, but people... Boy, oh boy, if there is sense of irony, we can feel it now that Oman was the metropolitan state of that region when it comes to news. It's just, we didn't know how good we had it.
Yeah, truly.
Me and Henry talked about this before the episode where he basically explained that how over can it be if you have 5 articles of news that span like 3 years?
But never worry, people, because I have a different ace up my sleeve. But we'll get to that after Rudy has talked about his news. Yes. So let's hear it, buddy.
Small pipe for Nauru, but a bigger pipe for random fish is my title.
Okay.
As perhaps already mentioned, Nauru is a small Pacific island with roughly 12,000 inhabitants off the coast of Australia. Well, that's how they describe, but off the coast of Australia basically spans... Like, I think you could fit between Australia and Nauru, another Australia.
Probably. It's... Or at least half of it. It's, yes. It's a couple thousand kilometers, to say the least.
Yet it seems that for the past year, they have been at the heart of a conflict that, to me, seemed a bit surprising from a place this small... And also pushing for sustainability in worldwide conventions, which is also something that surprised me because they're so small, but they have voice there. That's right, people. Some freaks out there want to pull some good old deep sea mining. Essentially, the clash pits differing views about how to tackle climate change. Nauru's government sees rare earth materials as a key component in the green energy transition. However, conservationists argue that mining the ocean floor will threaten the marine ecosystems. To add to that, Nauru seems to be a trailblazer, as what they are essentially trying to do is capitalize on a loophole in the International Seabed Authority Code. And here's how. And this is from the code, so try to see where the loophole is. Under that legal subclause in the UN's Law of the Sea, if a country applies to start deep sea mining, the ISA has 2 years to finalize a rulebook for commercial deep sea mining activities. 2 years. If there is no rulebook, mining can start. The loophole expires on the July 9th. In theory, mining applications can start after that. So the loophole is that over the past 23 months, negotiations have failed to result in a mining code. The ISA may be forced to accept Nauru's application to start activities this summer via a subsidiary of the Metals Company, a Canadian firm, even in the absence of industry regulations. So they just stretch the rubber and were like... Let's imagine every, for 2 years, every meeting they go to, somebody opens their mouth. Wait, should we get some tea in here, people? Coffee? Nothing? Okay. But somebody else starts going on. Lunch, anyone? I feel like we could have lunch. Pizza? We can order pizza. And then the meeting is over already. Because, you know, they're allocated time, busy people. Oh. And do that for 2 years? People, you can do deep sea mining.
That's right.
Loophole.
It's that simple. All you have to do is stall forever and you're good to go. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the thing for a little country like Nauru, right? What do you got? Well, you don't have much on the island. You got... Do you know what an EEZ is, Rudy?
No.
Well, it's the Extended Economic Zone of a country. more specifically, it's, I believe, 200 kilometers off the coast of any country with a coastline, barring that you're not, like, clashing with a neighbor, because that's, like, divided, but 200 kilometers away from your shoreline is all in your economic zone, and anything that's in there is your prerogative to make money off of, essentially.
Oh, okay.
So that's where this deep sea mining pops in, is that that's in their little zone. They wanna mine their materials, which is probably, you said it in your article, was like crucial to their strategy. It's probably because they don't have that much going on.
Yeah, I guess so. But actually, now that you know, like, now that you told me about the sea, I get the sea thing. So I assume, like, the sea border is just like that, and then it just goes until the seabed floor, right? Like, that's, it's just like a cylinder, blah, blah, blah. Is that the same about airspace?
I believe for airspace, there's technically no limit to what's, everything above your country is yours.
But it's only, so, like, country, like, land borders that go into the airspace, not this.
Actually, that's a good question. I assume it is both, to be honest.
Because what if it's like, okay, if you go by the borders, does it just go up in space? Like,
yes.
Okay, but how far up? Like, at what point does it become the International Space Station area, in a sense of, like, that that's for everybody to use? At what height does that...
I think there's no legal definition of that, as far as last time I read about this.
So technically... Earth rotating and stuff, at some point you can capitalize the moon in that, like, 3 minutes that it's in your airspace.
Yeah.
You can be like, that's mine now, bitches. Fine.
You give it a fine for entering illegally into your airspace. You shoot a rocket at it for doing that.
I mean,
Yeah, I mean, that is a pretty interesting thing.
What do you think of living on the moon?
Sorry?
What do you think of colonizing moon, like moon base?
Looks pretty gray.
Yeah, that you
saw. Probably gonna take a while. Yeah, that's,
I mean,
my
the truth
two
is,
opinions.
And I'm stealing this joke from a friend of ours who said it recently. So all kudos to them. But the joke was that, who are we kidding? It's probably going to be the Chinese who first build a moon base on the moon. But when they get there, there's already going to be Polish people speaking perfect Chinese.
I mean, my real opinion about, like, moon colonizing and that shit is it's probably going to take so long that we're not around anymore. So I don't really have much of an opinion.
You think it'll take that long?
Yes.
I kind of want to bounce up and down in moon. Just like, ooh, and just like fly into the space.
Yeah, well, buddy, tough luck.
I'll need
personally
engineers.
Make sure you're not around for that anymore. I'll tell you that. How about that?
And I'll make sure of it pulls out a Glock.
Yeah, that's right. The second they have like a regular transport to the moon, I'll come by your house and shoot you dead. All right.
Anyways, Nauru.
So that brings us to my little segment, which is aptly named History of Nauru.
Oh my god. Yay!
So, I'm going to try to keep this brief, but it is pretty long. But it's not that long either, so you know.
Oh, come on, get on with it.
Stop complaining, everybody. Here's what I wrote, and here's proof of your of the lack of news. Barely any news comes from Nauru, except for deep sea mining and Australian refugees. So we had deep sea mining already.
I didn't want to talk about refugees, but that's all they talk about apparently these past months.
Well, there's a good reason for that. But let's start at the beginning. So Nauru was first ruled by colonial powers, or well, I guess technically it was first just an island in the Pacific. But then it was ruled by colonial powers, who found that the island itself, like, did not have a ton to offer at first. But then they quickly found out there's a big deposit of phosphate on the island. And do you know what this phosphate consists out of, Rudy?
No.
How was it made?
Nope.
It was made by birds shitting on the island over thousands of years. creating a buildup of phosphate, and there you go. So, in order to repeat that process...
So they found a huge shit pile.
Yeah, essentially. Basically, yeah. They found a huge pile of shit, and that was very valuable when they found it, because this was in an era where populations were starting to boom, and they needed fertilizers and stuff like that, which this is, to get the food supply to match. So, they found, okay, there's phosphate here, let's start mining this shit, right? So, they start mining this shit. Now, first Germany, because for some reason Germany ruled the island at first, then Australia, then Japan, then back to Australia. Jump cut to 1968, when they become independent. And basically all that's happened on the island over the last 50 years is that they've just been constantly mining phosphate, right? So at this point, all the country knows is phosphate mining. And that's the only industry that there is, because to be fair with the space, there's just not much else to do. But because of this, there's also no like agricultural space anymore, because all the ground where you could have done that is mined away at this point, right?
Yeah.
So what did they decide to do? It's time to just continue mining, because that's literally the entire thing that the country is built on.
Yeah.
So they continue mining, but now, that's a good thing, as an independent nation, they now get to keep the money for themselves, and then boom, within a few years, they've skyrocketed to the richest country on Earth GDP per capita.
Damn.
So, back then, they had a GDP per capita of $27,000, which translates to about $85,000 per capita today. So, $85,000 per person. Not bad. I would not be upset if I had $85,000 in my pocket right now. So, the average person was pretty rich for a while. Apparently, there are stories of people like importing shit like Lamborghinis and stuff as well, just because they could at that point, even though there's like you can drive around the island in like 15 minutes. So, there you go. Now, how did this come crashing down? They ran out of phosphate. Surprise, surprise.
I was about to say.
A finite resource is finite.
There's only one thing that could have gone wrong.
Yeah, so they ran out of phosphate. And, well, not completely. I think there's more still, but it's not, like, economically feasible to mine it. If that makes sense?
Yeah.
So now all they have left is the money that they've made. So what do they do with that? Much like the Middle Eastern states... what they do with their little oil reserves is they like make trust funds and investments to keep the money rolling and guarantee a future for themselves, basically, right?
Yeah.
Except that they did this really poorly, and they made a lot of shit investments, and they just lost all the money, essentially.
Oh, no.
And one of the investments was just making a banking system that creates a tax haven, which other countries were not very happy with, as you may understand. So yeah, after a while that gets shut down as well, and then one of the nails in the coffin, this is a really funny one in my opinion, although tragic I guess since they lost all their money, is they try to make like a Broadway musical about Leonardo da Vinci, and it flopped.
Oh my god. Nauru tried to do that?
Yeah, it was a like state-sponsored like musical, and yeah, didn't do well.
Oh my god.
So yeah, at that point, the money starts to plummet. I think the National Bank was declared bankrupt, and yeah, they basically lost their international assets, and there was nothing really left at this country. And that brings us kind of to the modern day, where Australia basically pays for Nauru to stay afloat, and one of the things that Nauru has to do in return is they house some of the refugees that Australia isn't willing to take, as borderline like a prison in a sense, because
yes,
you can't really get away from there, and it's a pretty ugly island at this point, because everything like that was there, you like the jungle that used to be there is all razed to the ground. So it's a pretty shit environment.
Yep.
And that's also why they want to go deep sea mining, is because that's more resources for them to exploit, essentially. So there you go.
I mean, honestly, thank you for the history lesson, because I would have not known half of this. I think Wikipedia was very brief on Nauru's history.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting one. I think it's also a like big economical lesson for, in like a condensed sense, of what can go wrong. You just have the whole overview basically of the whole track record.
Well, anyways, Henry, if you know so much about Nauru, I got some trivia for you.
Okay.
Specifically one question. Well, with a follow-up. Do you know how the Nauru flag looks like?
Yes.
Okay.
It's blue with like a yellow stripe and like a big star.
You're right. And the star is where on the flag, and where's the stripe? Just describe the flag so for people to know.
So it's... Stripe isn't like on the bottom, like bottom third, basically. Just a horizontal stripe, I believe. Rudy's looking at me like I'm wrong, so I apologize if I am. And the star is either on the top left or the bottom left. I forget which one it is, because the Solomon Islands has a pretty similar flag. No, the Marshall Islands, sorry. And I can never fucking remember which one is which.
It's just bottom left.
Bottom left, okay.
And
so I had it technically correct.
And the line, I believe, is in the middle, horizontally.
Okay, so I was almost...
You tell me why are these colors and this specific flag. That's the quiz. You tell me why. So navy blue, yellow, and white are the colors.
So navy blue stands for the ocean, the vast ocean surrounding.
Okay, 1 point for Henry. Just ding, ding, ding.
The yellow stripe stands for the immensely tiny hopes that we have left for Nauru as a country.
What the
and
fuck?
And for the sunshine that shines upon the island.
Wait. Follow up on that thought. Keep following that thread, Henry, about the sun.
Well, that's all I have, really. It just stands for the sun.
What is the hottest point on Earth? It's a line.
Equator.
Exactly. It stands for the equator, Henry. Ding, ding, ding. And what the star is for? You will never get this
one. For the island itself.
Well, I guess by extension, yeah. The white star is a 12-pointed star and stands for the 12 tribes of the people of Nauru. Which, by the way, in 12,000 people, 12 tribes. What the fuck? It's like 1,000 people per tribe or what?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I don't know. Not much to say about that. Pretty varied.
Yeah, indeed. Well, that was the quiz time, and we apologize for the lack of news, but as Henry already described by his history channel Boogaloo version, there's not much happening there, so there's not much to report. Anyways.
Yeah.
On to the ad, I suppose, from Yaren.
Yeah.
Welcome to Yaren, Nauru, which is now in the midst of an ecological crisis. But where humans shine with their squabbles and no action on land, something else has started stirring underneath the ocean. I am Flubber McGubber, and I represent the local fish corps that will not stand against this unprecedented atrocity. Join the corps in a well-planned out mission against deep-sea mining. The first phase shall commence with some deep-sea bribing. If that fails, we move on to troop combining. And after corp aligning, we shall commence their declining. Join local Yaren Fish Corps today and make a difference.
You know, these fishies sound pretty civilized. If they had legs, they'd be ruling the world, by the sounds of it.
That seems to be the case.
Have you ever thought about joining the Fish Corps, Rudy?
Well, if I had any gills, I would have been I would have been right there with them, Henry.
Well, you know what they say, right? Gills are skills, so I guess we're not made for the task, unfortunately.
Whatever you said, yes, that was some rhyming right there.
In that case, let's go on to the weather report with anonymous agreement.
Exactly. As for the weather, ladies and gents, the small island of Nauru offers the tutti-frutti assortment. August will start with some banger thunderstorms, and that'll turn to some sunny side up days in the second week. Then, just to add that smoky aftertaste, a couple of cloudy days shall follow, but not to fear, the main dish will still be baked in the sun and clear skies towards the end of the month. The cooking temperature shall be kept at an average 30 degrees Celsius in daylight and a backside 26 degrees Celsius at nighttime. And with that, well wishes from our chef, and that's for the weather.
That's pretty good.
Weather. Wow, you sound so enthusiastic.
Alrighty, I guess then we can move right on to the keeping an eye out, right?
Yes.
Alright, then everybody, please close your eyes and picture this. You walk around the island, enjoying the shade of the jungle, having a coconut, and just vibing. Nothing is more important than having a good time. Suddenly, you wake up from your sleep, realizing it was all just a dream. Feeling a bit groggy, you decide to visit the other side of the island today, and after a brisk 2-hour walk, you've made it. But there was really not much to speak of for the landscape, because it was just phosphate remnants. Yeah, that's it. So just really want to paint this depressing picture again. There's truly nothing there, so sucks to suck, I guess. On your way back, you decide to have a canned lunch because there is no fresh fish on the island because there is no agriculture. No fresh fish there could be, but no fresh food on the island because there is no agricultural space to make anything. So you're just eating out of a can. And hey, maybe one day, Rudy, if you feel like it, you could be eating the can itself just to spice up life a bit.
Like after 50 years on Nauru, they're just gonna have like, if people do survive there, it's gonna be like the ecological disaster of the world. The next Hulk is gonna come out of there.
So if that sounds good to you, then maybe you should go to Nauru, huh? How about that?
I think this VR experience that you just described will go crazy for some old white rich folk. They love that depressive stuff.
Yeah, they get off on seeing everything ruined.
On phosphate, that's right.
Well, you know that you're in a bad spot when your main industry is mining literal shit, so there you go.
Should have seen it coming. Otherwise, everybody with an outhouse would have been a millionaire. Anyways, local business.
Local business, I got a pretty fun one, in my humblest of opinions.
I fucking hope we don't have the same one, because I also found a fun one, and there on an island like this, there can only be so many fun ones.
All right. Do you want me to start?
Start.
So, Rudy, picture this. Close your eyes and picture this, if you will. Have you ever visited a beach?
Yes.
And after a relaxing day to yourself, you thought, I could really go for a fucking glass of milk now.
Huh?
Well, fret no longer, Rudy, because the milk bar in Yangor has you covered. With just a 4-minute drive from Yaren, from the airport directly, mind you, so you could be doing this 4 minutes after hopping off the plane, you could be having a fresh glass of milk.
That's all there is to this bar. Just fresh glass of milk. They have a cow at the back and they're just milking it.
That's it. That's all you need. A cow and a milk.
I mean, you know what? If the business is booming, why not? But I'm just going to say, when I walk into a bar, I'm not thinking about the milk glass.
That's your loss, Rudy.
Evidently. Well, actually, maybe it's good you represent the milk drinking minorities, because we're out here representing minorities. For my suggestion, fear not. As today, I'm looking out for other type of minorities. One that doesn't get mentioned very often. For the misrepresented, for the bullied, and for the ones who live in the shadows. That's right, our zombie fans. Rise!
Okay.
Rise, my brainless brethren, as I have found a perfect place for you in Yaren Nauru, a store named The Zombie Store. With no clear description anywhere about what it sells and no pictures, but we see the hideaway here, don't we? To all my homie zombies out there, one of you all made it to Nauru and it seems to be working out, so go support the local business peeps. Perhaps they have some fresh brain in stock.
It's pretty good.
Imagine it because of the phosphate or some shit like that. This is like the ground zero of a zombie outbreak. And because it's an island so far in the middle of nowhere, nobody... Oh, this could be the perfect video like game precipice or horror movie. And what? Then, you know what would be the worst case scenario of this horror movie? People go there. They find out this stupid shit. Only like one survives, gets out, and everybody's, oh, it's the happy ending. But in reality, they just bring the virus to mainland. And then it's over.
The classic. Then it's over. There you go. Well, I think before then, they'd probably notice it in like Australia. So lucky for them, they'd...
You mean you would notice it?
Island. Who's to say I'm not a zombie right now, little bitch? Hmm? Have you ever thought of that? Brains.
Anyways, local radio. What a milk joke.
Yep, my local radio is, unsurprisingly, it's called The Milk Jug, and it's all about milk, milk, milk. It's... no, I think there's only one radio in Nauru, so that's the one I'm recommending. It's Radio Nauru, and truth be bold, I did not hear any music when I listened to it. It was just every now and then there was a weird sound. That's it. If that's all there is in Nauru, then so be it. Go listen to Radio Nauru.
I mean, that's the only radio station I have, so of course.
Yeah.
I also have to suggest the same one. It's literally written down, but the fucking, it's called The Milk Jug. Milk, milk, milk. Something about that joke just killed me. Oh, Henry, take us off. I have to go.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Remember, this was brought to you by the Tome of Huzzah. If you want to leave us any feedback, you can maybe leave a comment on Spotify. If we fix that yet, I have no clue. Who's to tell? Not me, in any case. Otherwise, please give Rudy a little message on 000, RUDIS 000 on Instagram. And other than that, we'll see you next week in Monaco, I believe. So, there you go. Goodbye, everybody.